It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Indeed, on a Friday with Paul Feinbaum of this Football Friday, brought to you by Bryant Bank. And so we welcome you into the show, Senator. We welcome you into the show, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I haven't had much to do this week, so I appreciate you guys calling. I've been waiting for my phone to ring.
You seem like you're on some sort of political suspension for a while. But anyway, that's another company's that's their priority or their prerogative. How you doing, Paul? We're going to look back at the weekend that was just a little bit, and then we have a pretty big slate for this weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, last weekend was really defined by two things. It was another loss for Arch Manning,
yep,
and another loss for James Franklin on different sides of the country, both equally painful. And, you know, James Franklin, he's a Penn State coach for everyone who has forgotten. He said it was tough to travel all the way out to UCLA from Happy Valley. He failed to mention that Oregon had traveled the week before and beaten him at home.
Yep.
That is the all-time – I mean, what do you do with a James Franklin? He wins you 9 or 10 games a year, but you have to know in the back of your mind you're never going to win at all. I mean, what
– I got the perfect job for him. Take Bill Belichick's place in North Carolina. Wow.
That could be open sometime this week.
Hey, yeah. We don't – no, they don't want you – Belichick said he's there for good, and UNC wants you to know that he's their coach.
Okay? Oh, okay. Okay. Is that their statement this week?
Yeah, they put it out late. So, Paul, yeah, speaking of the Arch Manning game and Sunbelt Billy off the bye, run game gets going, Lagway. I mean, the offense, which has been putrid for much of this year, shows up, and Arch still not there yet. Florida gets that big win, and Texas now still winless. Well, that was their first SEC game, but winless in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, Sunbelt Billy's just kind of guy. He's kind of like your crazy high school girlfriend that you break up to make up. And I mean, he's every time you think he's about to get fired, he comes back. I was down there last weekend, guys, and I mean, I tried to say something nice about him just to be a company man.
Which and, you are.
Thank you. I approve that message. The fans started booing me, saying "Fire Billy!" Fire.
Wow.
He may have been gone had he lost that game, but he wins, and now he gets to go out to A&M, and Texas gets to play the Red River game against OU. And the funniest thing about that game is with John Mateer out, Arch Manning might actually be the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, he might. He might.
First time all year.
And then, of course, in Tuscaloosa. Pavi has got to eat his words, and as much as he was the reason they won last year, he may have been the actual reason that Vandy lost this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's an actor that got old very quickly. I mean, it just got to be ridiculous. And you try to say all the right things in this business. You don't wish anything ill, but I was really kind of glad to see Alabama stuff the words back down his throat.
Yeah, they nearly stuffed him into a locker.
Yeah, they did.
That was wild.
They sure did.
I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback pregame practice the victory kneel like Pavia did. Just to really – I mean, that would have been a masterpiece if they had pulled off the upset. But you got to – and I think Pavia's – I think he's taking it fine. I haven't seen him respond to any of the Bama fans or Bama players after the game that were giving it right back to him. I think he knew he was going to get as good as he gave. But
he's got to, right? So, yeah, Dalton was telling me after the game that he was confronted by some Bama players and fans were giving him a pile of crap. But with Diego's, the way he operates, he's got to know that's coming. If you don't win the game, get ready.
Well, listen, when you shoot your shot as often as he has, you're going to miss.
Yep.
And I don't really I just have quit liking him, if I can be so politically incorrect.
Well, let's talk about Bama's next game, because Vanderbilt, we thought they had the potential to be a test, and they were for 30 minutes. But Missouri, talk about an unbeaten team that no one really feels like they have a great grasp on how good they could be. I mean, they're still ranked behind several one-loss SEC teams.
Well, the truth is they haven't played anyone. Yeah. And this schedule was pretty easy to predict that they would likely be undefeated. Now, I'm the only idiot that thought maybe Alabama would also be undefeated. But the point is that they're a good team. They have an outstanding runner, maybe the best in the country. But we just don't know anything yet. But I do think it's a – yeah, listen, it's a pretty nerdy game for Alabama. I mean, it's third game in a long stretch. And I've never quite figured out that 11 o'clock local time start, whether that really helps or hurts the home team. It seemed like it would be an advantage for the road team. But I think, you know, if Alabama walks out of there losing, it shouldn't come as a shock to the system. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't feel good as an Alabama fan until about 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, I've heard from many people that you haven't really seen a real college football game until you've been in Memorial Stadium at 11 a.m. So that's what the title find out this weekend.
Not that I'm trying to lose any popularity in Missouri, but this is now my second trip to Missouri in about 6 weeks. So I'm well versed on the great Midwest.
By the way, you're right, I don't know that 11 o'clock kickoff is a compliment to either team or what it says exactly. One thing about Missouri, they don't have to really come up with anything new, fangled on offense, because they run it for like 290 yards a game.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's against soft competition to this point, but they do something well that Bama has had a little trouble stopping, because Georgia ran it pretty well against Alabama, too.
And so did Vandy.
And so did Vandy for a time. Half. Yeah. So anyway, it's worth considering.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think the 11 o'clock kickoff really affects the atmosphere in Missouri. It's the same at 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night.
So Georgia and Auburn off a bye week, and they're probably watching after what Florida did off the bye week last week, thinking they might have a similar chance to really kind of turn the way their offense is operating around. But you talk about as professional as you can get in the college environment. That is the Georgia Bulldogs under Kirby Smart. They don't waver a whole lot week to week, at least in my opinion.
I love this game, maybe because as a young sports writer, it was always in the middle of November. It was 2 weeks before the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And I just thought this is one of the richest rivalries in college football. And it just feels weird early October. But literally everything is on the line for Auburn. I like where Hugh Freeze's boss, John Cone, this week, you know, kind of shrugged his shoulders when he was asked if this was a critical game for Hugh Freeze. Yes, it is. It's time for him to win one of these big games. Auburn fans look at two games every year, and you better win one if you want to survive. And this is one of them. I don't need to tell you the other one.
Yeah, this is not – I've heard this time and time again this season, that this is not, quote-unquote, a vintage Kirby Smart Georgia team. But they're a Kirby Smart Georgia team anyway. So regardless of what they have or their deficiencies with their youth and lack of experience – they're not getting to the quarterback. You can run up all kinds of things that Georgia doesn't do necessarily well. They're still Georgia. They're still they present a problem to whoever they play.
Yeah, and let me make it simple for Auburn fans. Georgia has the better coach in this game, so that really matters. Georgia's a tough team to watch sometimes, but 2 weeks removed from Alabama, that game was came down to one play. In spite of Alabama playing Georgia playing as poorly as they did.
Yep, I agree.
How about Florida? Can they keep this thing rolling? Now, this time,
on the road,
they're away from the swamp, playing at College Station, and Texas A&M, they've just, been in control. Of course, a relatively tight one against Auburn a few weeks back, but how do you see this Florida at A&M game kind of playing out?
I think it is an opportunity for Napier. I don't think A&M is unbeatable, but I do think the setting is pretty tough. And I think I have a hard time believing Florida can be consistent 2 weeks in a row. So I'm gonna go Aggies and give Sunbelt Billy his fourth loss of the year and one step closer to going back to the Sunbelt.
Now that it's clear that Lenora Sellers will not be in New York City to contend for the Heisman, that was a lot of chatter preseason, but doesn't look like it now. They're on the road, South Carolina at LSU, and another guy whose performance has not lived up to the preseason hype, and the quarterback at LSU.
Nussmeier.
Talked that maybe he's been injured all this time. I don't know what. But does South Carolina have a fighting chance going into that one?
I think so. I mean, you take a look at their schedule. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And this would be their third loss, and they still have Alabama and an endless number of really good teams. But I think Nussmeier, I think he has been banged up. It's affected him. I just have a hard time believing that somebody that every expert told me was the best quarterback in the country coming in can be this inept. Their running game has been a problem. I'm starting to hear some criticism, serious criticism from the LSU fans. So, Brian Kelly, beware. Don't try losing this game. You should have lost it last year.
Hmm. And I guess we could wrap it up since we've talked about all the other intra-conference SEC games, inter-conference games. Tennessee hosting Arkansas, actually a revenge game for the Vols this year. It's at Neyland. But I want to ask you about Bobby Petrino and the coaching situation there in Arkansas. He's made a lot of changes over the bye week since he took control. What's the feeling from Arkansas fans? Do they want Petrino to stick around beyond this year, or are they wanting something fresh and new?
They're just happy Sam Pittman is gone, number one. I think Petrino could make a case for himself. I don't think he has to win a lot, but I think if he could win one or two games, they would very likely keep him. There's no clear candidate. Rhett Lashley seems to be the name, but some Arkansas insiders don't think so. So I think it's TBD on that, but I don't see Petrino. I mean, he might get one win here somewhere, but the odds of him getting more than that are pretty slim.
Yeah, I think
it won't be today. It won't be tomorrow.
You know, a big concern for Petrino, despite his age, he's always looking for something fresh and new himself. So I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not to be too funny here, because I have to be serious.
That's
but,
right.
Wouldn't it be funny if he came out in the sidelines tomorrow with a neck brace?
Hey, trick or treat.
Yeah. Man, that would be great. As always, Paul, another great week talking with you about these games and looking forward to watching you tomorrow on TV and then following it up with some good Saturday football. So we appreciate it as always.
Yeah, thanks for remembering it.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Great conversation with him every single week, and we've got some really good games setting us up for tomorrow. And Auburn fans, how you feeling? I mean, only 3.5-point dogs to the dogs, and you're at home at Jordan-Hare. Can you get it done? And then Bama, how are you feeling about Missouri?
I'll be watching the Bama-Missouri game at a one-year-old's birthday party tomorrow, so that... I've never done that.
Watch the foul language, okay? I know how you get when you're watching football.
All right. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Friday morning. Back with more on the way.